Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Small business owner, you're special among Americans. You are a latter-day pioneer of our society and truly one of America's heroes. Welcome back, heroes. It's 13 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our phone number is 888-822-8255, 1-888-822-8255, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. And when you go there, or if you just want to email me, you can email me from my site, or if you just want to email me, it's jim@smallbusinessadvocate.com. While we're having our conversation today with our two guests, Tim Berry and Paul Berry, if you would like to email us a question, you're already online, that's how you're listening, so your phone's tied up, you have a question, you want to email us a question, I've got the email set, my computer set so I can check the email all the time, and if you'll keep your questions short and concise as much as possible, then we'll do our best to get your questions on the air. Tim Berry is one of our guests. Tim has been with us many times before. He's the president of Palo Alto Software. They're the business planning folks, the leading business planning company in the world. And he's also the author of Hurdle, the book on business planning. Hi, Tim.
Good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
And also, I'd like to welcome his son, Paul Berry, who is in charge of all of the internet activity, the website activity, the e-commerce stuff that Palo Alto Software does. He's been with the company a couple of 3 years or so. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
It's good to have you back with us, both of you guys. And folks, what we're talking about, this is our second visit with these guys, with Tim and Paul, to talk about how to develop and manage, maintain, and grow an e-commerce business. And whether that be that you're adding it on to an existing business, you're adding that component to a traditional business, or whether you're starting one from new. And Paul, we had a nice visit last time. We got a lot of things covered, a lot of myths and misconceptions were covered. We talked a lot about doing some outsourcing. We talked about where some of the opportunities were. But let's get more specific into actually how to do one of these things.
Yeah.
Let's start with a traditional business. And Tim, this is exactly what you guys did. Let's start with a traditional business and let's grow into the internet.
We sort of had to. The world was growing all around us in the internet. So it was definitely important for us, and we think it is for a lot of businesses.
Now, you've used an interesting word, or term, I should say. We had to.
Mm-hmm.
I wish, don't you and I wish we had a dollar for every traditional business who finds themselves in a position where they have to add the e-commerce component?
Well, we were at dinner over the weekend with several people. We had some guests, and one of them mentioned that our CD store here in Eugene, Oregon, which is an unusually good CD store that's downtown that people know around, is going to be closing and has a big sale.
Hmm.
There's your example. At that dinner table, what did we start talking about? Well, yes, of course. So many people are buying their CDs over the internet.
Right, or their music, not even CDs, MP3.
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you see it. It's happening everywhere.
That's a paradigm shift, isn't it?
Well, the reason is it's so much easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People are going to do what's easy.
You know, it's funny, and it's not just easier either the way the internet's working. I actually feel guilty buying a CD in a CD store these days because I know I can get it for so much cheaper. Over
but that's, of course, that's a whole other issue. I mean, to me, I don't mind paying a little more if those people have, if they've given me some value, which means that I actually got to hold it and listen to it.
Yeah, and since this is not just this is a small business show, I got to say on that favor, I was down in Stanford Shopping Center wasting time with some meetings in the Silicon Valley, and there is a store, just they stayed traditional, but they've reacted to this whole web thing and the CD store, and it's just a beautifully done job. They have thousands of listening posts everywhere. It's called Hear Me. And you really do feel good buying from them. So well, there are things you can do.
Well, okay, now we've got our traditional company, and we've got to do something with it. We're feeling the competitive pressure. We know that there are people out there who don't even have traditional companies who are competing against us on the internet. We're not only frightened, we're scared to death.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first step that we take, Paul?
First step you take is analyze what you can give over the internet. What's the first thing? What is your site going to do? Is it going to give your customers just better satisfaction? Is it a better way to deal with you? They can do it 24/7. Is it giving them information and giving them extra content that they can get access to?
Mm-hmm.
I think the best thing to do is sit down and actually plan, because when you start to talk to web guys and have them develop and everything, it's going to start costing you money.
Yeah.
And you're going to start paying for any mistakes of just thinking you can walk into it. You got to sit down and really just look around at the other sites that are out there and start laying out a plan for functionality on your site, if it's going to have functionality.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is, what is it going to accomplish for you? I mean, in business terms, is it going to make people happier is it going to make more return purchases? Is it going to spread word of mouth for you? Or is this going to bring in new people that you've never seen before?
In the past, we've had people on the show who, you know, they consider themselves, and they were, in fact, internet experts. That's all they did for a living. And they basically have told me, more than one has said to me, that there are really three kinds of sites in the broad sense. One is just a site that delivers information, basically an electronic brochure.
Yes.
Two is a transactional site, which doesn't really sell anything, but you can share information back and forth, either a newsletter or you're doing a lot of email communication back and forth or whatever, and they call that a transactional site. And then there's the e-commerce site, and that's where you actually are able to do business on the internet.
Absolutely.
Do you agree with that definition?
I think that's not a bad breakdown at all. And e-commerce is obviously hot right now.
Right.
But
it might not be for you if you've got a traditional business. You know, Tim, I could see that some industries or some businesses where I really only would like to get the information online, so provide me with that, because I don't mind coming to your store to buy what I'm going to get. In fact, that's the way I would rather have it. I want it today, but it's good if I could have checked it last night to see what you had on your website.
Yeah, so you've got to have the right offering, the right angle.
Exactly. So make sure that when you're spending your money that you're going for the right direction for your company. We're going to talk more about this with Tim Berry and Paul Berry. They're with Palo Alto Software right after these messages. Stay with us. We're back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blassie, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with the business plan people, Tim Berry, the founder of Palo Alto Software, and his son, Paul Berry, who's in charge of their website activity, their e-commerce portion of their business. And his name is Paul Berry, and he's been with the company, what, about 3 years now, Paul?
Yeah,
I'll go back
with the company. I've been here full-time now a year.
You've actually been with them all your life, but
yeah.
But you've been full-time now and focusing on the virtual marketplace for about a couple of years now, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. That I've been involved with for 3 years now.
Okay. Now, it seems to me that whether you're a big company with lots of resources or a small company with not a lot of resources, it seems to me that to get your feet wet, to get started in this thing, you ought to crawl before you walk. And that's the reason why I was focusing on the three different ways, informational, transactional, and e-commerce. Sort of grow into that, because you can spend, let's say, and Paul and Tim, correct me if you think I'm wrong, but let's say you got all the money in the world, and you know you're going to make mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
So why would you make mistakes? The e-commerce site, obviously, is the most expensive. Why would you make the first 3 months of mistakes and on the expensive angle instead of the inexpensive angle?
Well, we certainly didn't go that route.
Yeah.
Well, let me suggest that we'll put this into the context of the plan.
Okay.
We're talking, business planning is our thing, but we're talking about how to plan a website. And in that context, I'd like to suggest that we separate, and the first thing we talk about is you have to plan for traffic. Traffic is what you get out of a website. It's, they call it eyeballs. It's people viewing your web.
Mm-hmm.
So you're after traffic, and that's sort of a step one. And if we have time, we can ask Paul how you measure traffic and how people would forecast traffic. But let's think about traffic first. And when you understand that's what you want, people coming to look at your website, I think then you can start to think of two side elements that would have to be in your plan, and then you'd have to implement it. The first of that is, why would people come? What do I have on my website? Imagine there's 3 million new websites every week or whatever it is, and here we are sitting with our diamond shop or CD shop or restaurant. We have to think through, what can we do that will make among those millions and millions of websites somebody want to come to ours? And then the next step of that, so we're going to, our objective is traffic. We're going to measure traffic. And our pitch or our angle is, what are we offering that's different? And then what we're going to do to try and generate that traffic once we have the offering. And that's another one we can talk about is, how do we get that word out to those millions of people who are around, hanging around on the web?
Let's talk.
That's a couple components of it.
I agree, and I don't want you to leave that, but I want to ask you this question with regard to traffic. And this is something you and I have never talked about before, Tim, but it just occurred to me. It was along the lines of what we talked about in the introduction of this whole hour. How much of this activity is offense and how much of it is defense? And when you talked about traffic, offensive traffic is people that we have never known before, new people that we want to do business with us. Defensive traffic is trying to make sure that the people that we know and who know about us know that we have this new capability. Is that a good way to say it?
Yeah, and let's put some scale on it, because we've seen the numbers most recently. There are approximately 90 million people in the United States who will browse the web at least once a week. And there's 185, you know, according to some market researchers, there's 185 million people in the world.
Right. That's according to the United Nations, actually.
And it's an interesting set of numbers, because what that tells me is I'm focusing much more on what you're calling offense.
Mm-hmm.
In any business, this is such an enormous new market that I'm looking at. How can I put something up that anybody can come to my site and click through that's going to have people find me?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's you'd call that offensive.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yes.
Going out and putting something up there that people can get to. For example, I'll throw in some examples of your angle, what you're offering. At Palo Alto Software, we put up sample business plans first. In the whole world of business information, we've visited enough that I think we've talked about it in the past, but it's www.bplans.com is a website where you can go to get a sample business plan for free and look at these plans. And then we added plan wizards and mini plan and a lot of things. It was all around the focus of one particular piece of information. So
stand by, Tim. I'm going to let you tell us more about that when we come back. Folks, we've got to take a break. It's 29 after. We'll be right back with Tim, Barry, and Paul Barry. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We are back. It's 33 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can go, among other things, to find out more about Tim Barry and Palo Alto Software, because Tim is a member of my Brain Trust, and he's our guest this hour, along with his son, Paul Barry. And Tim is also represented in at least four or five, I think maybe five now, archives, Tim.
Yeah.
I think so.
That is a really nice, it's funny you mentioned that. Right now we were talking about people thinking of their distinguishing difference on the Internet. The smallbusinessadvocate.com is another example. I think that's the only place someone can go on the Internet to actually pick up the snippets of audio shows and be able to sort and search and find shows on how to collect your debts or whatever. That's a distinct difference, and that's important.
Yeah, it's the only one that I know about, but I want you to tell us, one of the things, folks, that I really admire about Palo Alto Software is they live this tenet, that this this term, this example that I've heard people say that on the internet, the more you give away, the more business you do. And Palo Alto Software is an example of that because they have an e-commerce site. They have a site where you can go and buy their software, you can buy their products and their services, no problem. That's what they're in business for. But they also have other sites that are very, very helpful. And this bplans.com that Tim mentioned in the last segment is an example of that. And this is where they're giving away sample business plans. I think there are about 20 or so, aren't there?
A couple dozen now, and 10 sample marketing plans.
Yeah. Folks, this is free. It's bplans.com. But tell us, Tim, I also want you to tell us what your commercial website is.
PaloAltoSoftware.com.
Yeah.
www.PaloAltoSoftware.com.
And they can actually download your business planning software from that site, can't they?
Yeah.
No way.
We love the internet. It certainly makes it easy for people. If they need to do a business plan, they can get it right there and have it a few minutes later.
No waiting. And if they want to order the book that goes with that, if you bought it in the retail store, you can get the book as well, right?
That's right. You can do that at the website or at Amazon.com.
And that'll come to you. And also the book called Hurdle, the book on business planning, is available at the bookstores. Okay. Did I say all that? We say all the websites, bplans.com and PaloAltoSoftware.com.
Yes.
All right. Now, if someone wanted to call you, you have an 800 number.
1-800-229-PLAN.
Okay, good.
Which is 7526, by the way.
All right.
229-7526.
All right. Tim, take off.
I was talking about having this distinct difference. And every website that you think of, all of you in the audience, too, that you like to go to has a reason why. It's not just sitting there, somebody made it pretty. They're doing something. They're giving something. So I was looking for examples. We mentioned Amazon.com. They grew because in the beginning they had a very neat trick of telling you what you liked. If you ordered this book, then you'll like that one. And people who ordered this one already liked that one. And they were giving you information that was different. For example, you're running a restaurant. Don't just have your menu up there on the web, because that's not that interesting to people.
Mm-hmm.
Put some recipes. Put a history of your place or something different so that people will go there. I was saying we started with sample business plans, and the more we give away, the more we sell. Think of that difference and somehow have a reason for people to come that you can define as different from all others.
And that's an example of what I call an informational website, right?
I think that meaning a distinct difference is probably true of all three types, though.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand why people would bother to come.
I meant the restaurant example.
It's an example of
an informational.
Well, in ours, I mean, we've been very successful on the internet. We started out with informational, and what it generated for us was people coming. Now, our company has 500,000 people who come each month to view the information that we've put up for free.
Congratulations.
That's actually congratulations to Paul. But that's a benefit for the business. That's what we're looking for when we're out there thinking about, well, why would I do this internet site? It's people coming to look.
Now, Paul, in order to get them there, a lot of work's got to be done.
Yeah.
Talk to us about some of the things that have to be done to create what Tim's talking about.
Well, I think another way to maybe break this down so you can figure out what you've got to do, a different way to categorize these sites are just real simple, just two categories. You've got either a dynamic site or a static site. Now, a dynamic site is going to cost you a lot more. And like you were saying, crawl before you walk. That is, you always begin with a static site. And a static site means that you have to literally change the HTML in it and upload, and you're not seeing this site change very much every day, possibly as designs and redesigns are going up and improvements, but that's it. A dynamic site is like, for example, a classic dynamic site that everyone can understand is eBay. This site is constantly changing because someone posts up something for auction, immediately the site's changed. someone starts to bid on it, and that's a dynamic site.
Mm-hmm.
If we go to the restaurant, for example, that the restaurant example that we were just going through, you could break that down as well and say, well, the menu isn't interesting, right, as a static site, but as an upgrade, a local restaurant can do, if you go to a dynamic site, a local restaurant can make their menu very interesting for people. If every day there is always the new, the special of the day, and they can check on it. Togo's, for example, is a sandwich shop. You can place your order online, and when you get there, it's ready. They don't deliver it, but you can actually place the order online. And that type of stuff actually is not as hard as it used to be with the way that the way that the web languages are developing.
All stand by. Tim, we got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 40 after. We'll be right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, 888-822-8255. We're back. It's 45 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our phone number is 888-822-8255. Our special guests are Tim Berry, president and the founder of Palo Alto Software and the author of Hurdle, the book on business planning, which is available all over the place in bookstores, online, and their software is Business Plan Pro for PCs and Business Plan Toolkit for Macs. Thank you very much. Macs are making a comeback. Did you see that Apple's doing great? A lot better, Tim?
I do. I see the stock is going up like mad.
I'm waiting
anxiously for is for more of you Mac users to find our website.
Are you not seeing that as much?
No, we are. We don't see that in our market at all.
I'll be darned. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Of course, there's apparently only about 4 or 5% of us that use Macs.
It feels like that.
Yeah. Okay. Paul, you were talking about static and dynamic.
Yeah.
Let's get back into that.
I think a good example is we talk a lot about our sample plans on this show, but the site network has evolved to what it has because of a lot of other things. You're going to get feedback from I really like the crawling before you walk, but say you put up your information of value. So that, for us, was a sample business plan.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get feedback from it. And for example, for us, it was people constantly asking, how does that business plan, you guys have about 20 business plans there, but I don't see one that's exactly for my business. And this was constantly a question. Where do I get one for a hair salon? Where do I get one for a bike shop, et cetera, et cetera?
Mm-hmm.
And
what you're finding is something that Tim, you and I found in the Ask the Experts thing. Sometimes people want you to do their work for them.
Well, that's true. Oh, they would love that. But they also need to, and this helped us out a lot, is somehow we needed to explain to them that what you need to do is find a plan that is similar to yours. You're never going to find one that's exactly like it,
right.
But you can benefit a lot from one that is similar. So how we did that is we went to dynamic sites, and planwizard.com is a dynamic site we built. It's based on the logic inside Business Plan Pro. We didn't invent it, but this is typical of, like, when you have a company, you try to take your core value and you put it on the web. The Plan Wizard breaks down these people's business for them. It asks them, you know, the fundamental questions that will affect your business plan outline and topics and spreadsheets. And the Plan Wizard, the way we did it is, well, you go through and you're answering questions online. It's a quick thing. You go through 5 minutes. But at the end, when you're done, you see for each piece of similarity you have, like if you're a startup business, you see all the startup plans. If you're a service business, you see all your service sample plans. You see the combinations of this, and it really helped to explain to people how it's possible that our software would work for their business.
Mm-hmm.
We've been a good example of crawling before you walk. We just, you know, began with. And this is something we've talked before about resources and what do you do? Do you outsource them or bring them in or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a good model is what we've done, which is that you test the waters a little bit and
make your mistakes when they don't cost you so much money.
Exactly. You don't need to hire someone and bring them in-house and go through that entire fiasco to find out that you're not really a good internet business and this thing's not going to be able to support a full-time salary.
Rent your resources first, before you buy them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, this combination of static and dynamic, if you find somebody who's, you know, like me basically is a web nerd, you find somebody who's just fascinated by it and can't keep out of it, then you might be able to grow with them as things happen. So if you can catch them and just see if they've got some good design sense or whatever, you start out with this static site, and you start getting a good feel for what will be your move into it, what will improve this customer experience, this visitor experience, and push more traffic through word of mouth and everything. How can you build this dynamic site to work well?
Well, and as you do, you learn more things yourself. You develop your own. You learn some things about your internet strategy that you probably didn't even know when you got started. That's the thing to me the reason I like crawling before you walk and walking before you crawl is because there are things that I'm doing now that I didn't even know I wanted to do 2 years ago.
Well, that nobody could. Remember,
yeah.
This whole thing is reinventing itself every 3 months.
Yeah, an old website is 4 years old.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, an antique website is 4 years old, right?
Oh, yeah.
Stand by, guys. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 50 after. We'll be right back with Tim Berry and Paul Berry to wrap up the hour on how to grow, how to maintain and grow an internet site for your business. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I want to remind you, coming up in the shows ahead includes Beverly Williams, the president and founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses, and she's bringing with her two real-life home-based business owners, a husband and a wife. We're going to have three people with us tomorrow, Beverly Williams and two home-based business, a couple in home-based business. I'm looking forward to that. Also, Joan Pride with the Kiplinger Letters after that, and then on Friday, Bill Hubbard, our human resources expert, as well after him as marvelous Mary Westheimer with BookZone. She's going to be joining us, talking to us some more about some internet issues. We're talking with Tim Berry, the president and the founder of Palo Alto Software, the business plan people. Their Business Plan Pro software is for PCs, and the Business Plan Toolkit is for Macintosh. Check those out, folks, online. Tim, give us your websites, please.
www.bplans.com.
You always give the free one away first.
Yeah.
Give me the e-commerce site. I want you to sell something.
www.paloaltosoftware.com.
What a classy guy, folks. That's the reason why Tim is my friend and why I like him to be on the show. He always gives you the one where all you can do is go and learn things and not the one where he sells things. Cast your bread on the water and it will come back to you tenfold. That's Tim Berry.
Well, and that's important. We're talking about internet strategy.
Yeah.
It does, in fact, work because B-Plans is where we have all kinds of free information, and we're very happy with the percentage of people who go from there to our main site where they buy software.
He's learned that, folks. That's what he's learned about his site. He's found out that the way to get people to do business with you is to give them something first. And even though he's a good guy, and I know why he's doing that, it's also a part of your strategy, isn't it?
Ultimately, what we're after is, as we've been talking about it for an hour, the objective in the internet is traffic, which is people coming to look at your sites.
Mm-hmm.
In the old days, we paid thousands of dollars to buy an ad so that people would look at that ad on TV or, in the case of our ads, in a magazine.
Right.
Now, we build a website so that people will come look at what we have for them on the website and eventually get information, which leads to a purchase, we hope, in some cases.
Right.
The interesting thing, I think, because I know we have to wrap up, is what is traffic? Now, some of the winning sites in the internet, Paul, correct me on this, but Yahoo is getting how many millions of people per month? Is it like 25, 30 million?
It's somewhere close to there, yeah.
And when you look at the top 5,000 sites, according to some study I just saw, well, number 5,000 something in that is getting 55,000. There are statistics, and Paul can explain how they measure, but
mm-hmm.
We're talking about our website, for example, gets in a good month between all our various sites, 500,000 people will come and view this information, and of course that's a huge audience for our pitch to eventually sell business planning software. Paul, how do we measure that?
Well, the way that I've looked at this is unique user sessions is my favorite, because if you're looking at hits is a funny thing that you can manipulate with.
Paul, you got 20 seconds.
With statistics. So look for unique user sessions. That means actual people going through, establishing yourself with, you'll watch them go day by day. We are really happy with the traffic we have now, but we were happy with it 2 years ago when it was a lot smaller. So mm-hmm. It's all about growing this properly. And we've got about 250,000 to 500,000 unique user sessions going through the site a month.
Paul, I've got to stop you there. You guys are going to come back in 2 weeks, and we're going to talk some more about this. Thank you for that commitment. Tim Berry, Paul Berry, thanks, guys. You did a great job today.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Got to wrap it up, folks, for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blessingham, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blessingham. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.